Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now Butler quickly, right side three, no good. Santos got the rebound, ripped it away, finds Looney at midcourt, back to Butler. Santos inside, pump fake, goes up, got fouled, and he scored!
Dub Nation, it's Guy Santos here. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, and Wheeler and Dibs each and every week. Right here on 95.7 The Game.
Man, do that thing, Guy.
All right, Guy.
Let's go. Get in there. Get that board.
Yeah.
Dude, Guy's boards fire me up. I love Guy's boards.
Guy's and one, it's like a soccer goal where he gets the and one. He did everything but take the shirt off and wave it above his head.
I would love it if he just starts running. That'd be amazing.
Dude, and did like the double knee slide that they do, Grandy.
The way his hair just like flows it's when so he's in the great. Middle of a scream.
Was it the game? Ugh. Was it which game? Was it the Pistons game or was it the Raptors game? I feel like I was sitting next to you. Where Guy had...
That would be the Pistons game, I think, when you guys were there.
We were at the Raptors game. You and I were.
Yeah, but you were at the Pistons one, too, weren't you? That was when I was there with the class.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
I feel like I was near you, and the Guy and one, and his body started vibrating. I mean, it was... The whole thing just... I was like, I don't even know if he's in control of this anymore.
Wow.
This started doing its own thing.
He gets pretty excited.
He does.
And I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm here for it. And Grandy's right, the hair. Like, when he starts to get excited and he's shaking the body and the hair is, like, trembling, that perfect curl, it's amazing.
That guy going for 7 minutes, he'll get one and one, and he will look at the crowd and treat them like he's a wrestler who just got entered into the ring. The arms are up. He's screaming at everybody like, dude, he gets the crowd going. And I get it. Like, that's his role. I don't know how, and this is a weird word I've decided. In our business, it's a weird word in sports. The word is talent. Like, I think people know this, right? Like, that's actually the word that's used in media for the people who are on the air.
Right.
They're the talent. I'm like, that's disrespectful. Like, first of all, I know plenty of people on air who've got none of it. Second of all, I know plenty of people who are off air who've got ton of it, right? Like, so anyway, it's weird, but the word talented, if I look at Guy Santos, I'm like, you don't have a lot of basketball talent, but good God, you make the most of whatever the hell it is you've got. And people love someone who does that, whatever you do. Whatever you do, if you squeeze the orange as tightly as Guy Santos does, people are going to love you. They're going to love you. People are going to react to you.
And we don't really yet know how much talent, quote unquote, he has, because he doesn't really get a chance a lot to go out there and showcase a talent of like, all right, Guy, we're going to call this play for you, or we're going to run screen roll for you, or we're going to give you this pass so you can go ahead and cook and show us that ha-ha. He's in there to do what he does, which is... Run around with your beautiful curls and your headband, get rebounds, disturb S, and make things happen in 6 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly. Jack Buck, go crazy.
Yep.
Just go crazy. And he does.
He did. Yeah. 6 minutes last night, and he had the three. He somehow shot the ball three times in 6 minutes, and he had 3 points. He had the and one.
And the and one.
He had three rebounds in 6 minutes. Three rebounds
three
in
of
6 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, that's huge.
All on offense, by the way. Dude. All offensive rebounds. So
that clip that Grandy just played tells you, and what was it? Did someone hit a three? He got an offensive rebound, and then a Warrior hit a three.
Well, no, he got the offensive rebound, and then he later got the and one.
Oh, and he got the, okay. So there you go. That's 3 points that he earned with an offensive rebound. The Warriors won by five.
Right?
Like, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. All right, let's keep going on the phones, 888-957-9570. It's nothing but your calls today until Steve Kerr joins us at 5:30. Larry in the city. Hi, Larry. Thanks for the call.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
What's up?
I'm gonna say this. I am not going to let Steve Kerr off the hook. He is the coach, so he is responsible. Outside of the owner making a call downstairs, he has to be held accountable. And I'm not saying he should have played J.K. or he shouldn't have played J.K. I'm saying the playing time belongs to Steve Kerr. So no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, it's a Steve Kerr deal. And he's going to either get praised or lambasted for what he decides.
Okay, that's fair. Hold on. But, Larry, that's fair. So then what would you say? Would you like to say that this decision was a good one or this decision was a bad one?
I would say it's good because it worked out.
Okay.
And that's the zone I've been living in with Steve Kerr. When you're watching the game, you're baffled. Sometimes he take Moody out, Moody's hot. You're going, why are you taking Moody out? Sometimes he does that to J.K. J.K.'s cooking. He take him out. Or he does to Steve Kerr, or Steph Curry. It's how he sees the game. And so me as the average fan watching, I would go, I probably wouldn't do that. And to Steve Kerr's credit, one of the things he did in that 2022 championship is I think he listened to his coaches because he was set on his rotation and Ume was killing him. We would have our backups. He would have his starters. And he made an adjustment. But Steve Kerr, for me, he locks in to whatever he's decided the rotation is going to be. The other thing is what dings Steve Kerr is that if we think J.K. is a talent, we drafted him, I think, seventh, then it's up to Steve Kerr to get that talent out of him. Hmm. When you see him tell Tatum there might not be a spot for some playing time for you in the Olympics, you're going, huh? What? How do you not figure that out? And so Steve Kerr, for me, it's an accountability thing.
Right,
and
but
Steve Kerr,
but Larry, did you see where you, in a slight way, just contradicted yourself? Because you're saying, how could you not find time for Jason Tatum in the Olympics? But you yourself said the accountability lies on, in other words, he gets credit if it works out. And my memory tells me they won a gold medal. So then it was the right call, right?
Well, yeah, and I agree. But what I'm saying to you is when you see that talent prior to making the decision, you can't understand why it can't happen.
Well,
before you know the result, you look at it and go, that doesn't make sense. And so I'm saying Steve Kerr has been fortunate, and we praise him because he got four championships.
Yep. Right,
whatever
right.
He's been deciding has been working. But when you're in the moment, you do question it. And the few times that it hasn't worked out, he should be held accountable.
He should be. Today for me is not that day.
No,
if you want to look
not.
At yesterday, for example, Buddy Hield played 7 seconds in the fourth quarter. Kevon Looney played about 10 minutes for the game. So his rotation changed based on what he saw and what the matchups were. And he went with the big three for a ton of the game, and then he spotted the other four or five guys, and they won. So for me, today's not a day where you look at it and you say, well, the rotations and Steve Kerr got lucky.
Yep, I also, here's two other ways where I like what Larry's saying. I just see it a little bit differently. When people say, oh, you obviously thought he was talented because you drafted him number 7 overall, so therefore it becomes Steve's responsibility to get that talent out of him. I'm sorry. That, like, all anybody who says that, I can only guess you've never had kids. That's the only thing I can say. You cannot tell me that just because you see someone there and you see something in them, now it's all on you to get that out of them. No, 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 no. It's on him. It is on him. It is on Jonathan Kuminga or anyone to go earn your keep. Go make it impossible for them to keep you out or whatever. And I'm not even talking in this moment about Jonathan's experience. This is all young players' experience. And then as far as the rotations tightening up, when we get to the playoffs, I think that's exactly what good coaches do. It's exactly what Bruce Bochy did when they won World Series. You didn't have any questions about who was coming in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning. You knew. If you were a Giants fan, you knew exactly when Affelt was coming in. You knew exactly when Javi or Sergio was coming in because the roles were defined. And that's that. Yes, you have to be ready to adjust, but you go into games like that with the roles defined because you're going to lean on your best. That's how you win in the postseason, I think.
And if you define your roles and you define them without Jonathan Kuminga and you go out and you lose, well, then you're open for criticism. And if you go out there and you design it this way and you win, for me, you're not open to as much criticism. And I do agree with you about the idea of player development because Steve Kerr can set up a construct and he can coach up with his coaches, Jonathan Kuminga, to the best of his ability, and he can do all the things for JK that they possibly can, but he has to go in the lab, as Guru would say, and get better on his own, and he has gotten better.
Yep.
Jonathan Kuminga's gotten a lot better in 4 years, but in this moment, with this team and this style of play, they've determined that what they need from him in his role, he's not as good at as Guy Santos.
Does anybody want to just, like, celebrate that the Warriors are in the playoffs?
I've been celebrating.
I know. I'm not talking about you.
Right.
Like, is anybody feeling really good today about Warrior basketball? I sure am. That was stressful as hell. I did not enjoy all of the stress. There was a lot riding on that basketball game, but they did it. They did it. And their big two did most of the work. And that's, I think, what postseason basketball looks like. We keep taking calls, and we will, on whatever. And if you do want to talk about JK, we can talk about JK. 888-957-9570. I'll throw this into the mix, though. Who's got the best duo in the Western Conference playoffs? If you could pick a duo and say, take us to the promised land, who do you like? You like Steph and Jimmy? Do you like Jokic and Murray? Do you like LeBron and Luka? Do you like Kawhi and James Harden? Do you want to pick a different one? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and whoever the hell they've decided is their number two.
Crazy you went to a 68-win team in your sixth spot.
Well, because their number two is not defined. It could be Jalen Williams. It could be Chet Holmgren. There's a few different ways to go on that one. It's not as defined. But anyway, something to kick around, and we will. Again, glad you're with us. Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also sponsored by Honda Vallejo. Your calls next as we continue. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
Up to Payton, now to Curry. Ball knocked away. Curry now dribbles in. Throws to the wing to Looney. Relocates to the right corner. Takes the three. Hit it. And of course, he got fouled. Ridiculous.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Say it how you want, Chef. My God, that moment. And that was to put them up by 19, and then he would go hit the free throw. And that was where they built the 55-35 lead. And there is something mental about that stupid 20-point lead. I got to admit it. I sat back in my chair a little bit. You're like, oh. Okay, Chef. You're up by 20 now. And then I think, did Memphis score the next 7 or the next 9?
The next 9, I believe, Mark. Yep. Now it's 11.
Oh, there's the end of that.
And yeah, we're never back mind. Into it. And I love the Steph reaction when he's just on the sideline. He's looking at the fans like, do you see what I saw?
He's
right
like,
there?
Do you know? Did you see how amazing I am?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I caught that. I shot that. He absolutely ran through me, and now I'm about to get number 4.
And now I'm about to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So big relief. And in the end, for me, I really believe that this ended up working out. And that was, like, weird to say, but yes, thank God they lost to the Clippers. I really am, as it turns out, thankful that they lost to the Clippers because they beat the Grizzlies. Like, if they hadn't beaten the Grizzlies, this would have been a calamity. But for me, it was, okay, this is really scary, and this is playing with fire. But you played with fire, and then you blew the fire out. You won the game. You won the game by five. It was stressful, but you did it. And now I do think, as you pointed out, they only lost one day of rest out of that.
Yep.
And I think that most Warrior fans would trade. I think the Warriors themselves would trade a day of rest to play a bunch of 22-year-olds as opposed to LeBron James and Luka Doncic.
Perhaps. I do think that the travel part of it would be a lot better for them, an older team, L.A., back and forth. That's kind of a neat little back and forth hee-haw.
It's
and
true.
Houston does present different challenges. We can get into it tomorrow and Friday, and we're going to pick through all of it, and we'll get some guests on from Houston, and we can get a full 360 look at the Houston Rockets and where they are, because you want to talk about a disrespected two seed, and Guru had the stat.
No doubt.
The second time ever a seven's been favored over a two, and the last time was just a few years ago when it was the Lakers seven and Phoenix was the two. So if you're Houston and you had a good regular year, last year they had a great second half and they were a team on the come. You and I talked about it and I thought, you know what, Houston's a team that I like. This year I didn't think they'd be this good. But then they went through and played a full 82. And you have to remember, they have a good head coach in Ime Udoka.
Yes, they do.
And he's a guy who understands how to play against the Warriors. So we have 2 days to get into it. Right now I'm just basking in yesterday because that was what I thought it would be. And that's what I really wanted. I wanted the smoke. I was here for that kind of a...
But you're a nut job.
I am crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
You're a nut job.
You know, I'm on the couch watching on my laptop because it's what I like to do. And my wife is watching The Valley season debut, and so she's going through her drama.
Come on,
I got
supper.
My drama.
Supper, like,
we got two separate dramas
going on. I know, but the non-Warrior fan, you can come to this party, can't you?
Oh, she will, and she does.
No, like
but
last night, it was like damn near an elimination game.
The Valley season debut.
What is it, only on live?
No, but
it's not available at all.
She was locked in like
game.
It was live.
Come
and you know
on,
what?
Supper.
I don't need her fandom to have my own personal enjoyment. So I'm watching it and
I'm
loving it.
I know that, but come on.
It's okay. We can have our
what
separate things.
What are we doing here?
She's wondering if Jax is going to go to rehab or not. Spoiler alert, he needs to.
Okay.
And that's coming up.
Who are you?
Thank you.
After the Rocket series, we'll go get him.
Okay.
We'll go get him.
He's already there.
All right. Well, that's good.
Long overdue.
Let's go to Bert and Benicia. Hi, Bert. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Oh, feeling good, man. Let me check a few boxes for you, Mark. Number one, I'm very excited for some Warrior playoff basketball. Anytime you get to watch the greatness that is Steph Curry is a treat. I got a 7-year-old son, took him to his first game this year. I want him to watch as much Steph Curry as he possibly can until he retires. Number two, give me the yin and yang of Steph and Jimmy, someone who is hungry, who is motivated, who complement each other as the duo in the West. Of course, I'm going to take Steph over anyone else. And number three, as our homie Lo Neal used to say, same church, same pew on JK and Kerr. It is not Kerr's job to motivate Jonathan. He's been here long enough. He's been around Steph, around Draymond. He should know the system. He should have the basketball IQ and acumen to know where he's supposed to be on the court, when he's supposed to be there for defensive rotations. And offensively, he should at least know what is asked of me and how I can help the team. When you see Gary Payton, when you see Guy Santos, when you see Moses Moody, guys who we would say do have less talent but seem to have what's right there in the middle of their chest, have heart, and are into it, that is what drives, I think, a fan crazy looking at Kuminga, who has the talent but just doesn't either have the heart, doesn't have the acumen to pick up the system and play within the system with the people who are there. There's just something there that's there's no motor to him. I want to see, like Draymond said, an angry Kuminga come out and be a difference maker, even if it's just defensively. Because if you have him and Gary Payton and Draymond on the court together, you're going to have three guys that should be able to just shut people down. And I want to see that. As a fan, I want to see that.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's a low nihilism.
Yeah. Thanks,
to follow
Bert.
Up with same church, same pew.
I actually don't, you know, the one thing that I this slight adjustment on what Bert's saying from my perspective, I don't think this is that much about effort. I really don't. I don't think J. Like, sometimes when we're talking about this, it sounds to me like people think J.K. dogs it. I don't think this is about effort. I think it's about two things. Two things and two things only. I don't think Kuminga, at age 22, is a great on-court decision maker yet. I don't think he is. And then the other thing that no one can argue, he's just not that good of a shooter. And on this team, if you're going to play that spot, you have to be able to knock down a three. And since he came back from his injury, he is 6 for 35 from three-point range. Can't have it. You can't have it right now. There's just no room for it in a must-win game. There may be room for it in the Houston series. I hope that there is. He's very athletic. They may need him in this matchup. And I would expect him to be ready because that's what a professional is asked to do. But I don't think it's an effort thing. I just don't think he makes great decisions and he doesn't knock down shots.
Well, I don't know if effort is the word I would use. The word I would use is intangibles, because if you look at the rotation, the starting lineup is now set with Moody and Pods in the big three. And then you get into your bench, and your bench is going to be GP2 for sure. It's going to be Buddy Buckets. Hope you're making them. If you are making them, you'll play more than 12 minutes. If you're not, well, you're going to get 12 minutes to ply your trade. And I do think that Quentin Post, the way he shoots, is now in that eight-man rotation.
I agree.
Now you get down to players 9 and player 10. And if you have Kavon and Gee and Kuminga, and you're looking for what? What are you looking for? You're looking for that je ne sais quoi from that player. You're looking for hustle plays, rebounding, pick setting, putbacks, defensive acumen, and all the rest of it. And JK's best attributes are, I can score, I've got the ha-ha, I can rim run, I can elevate, I can defend, but these things are already boxes that are checked. And so when you get down to player 8, player 9, and player 10, and you're looking for those things, that's not what JK does best.
Yeah.
And so that for me is what this is all about. It's not about the person or the doghouse or a grudge or his development or the rest of it. It's just about what you're looking for.
Yep.
And what you're looking for is like, it's kind of Gee Santos in a nutshell.
Gee Santos makes it so that you can go to him, not even because it's like, if I said to you, what does Gee do well? Nobody's going to come up with a basketball thing. You're just going to say, well, he just goes crazy out there. He just goes crazy. But that leads to plays. Sometimes it leads to fouls. There are times where it leads to a turnover. But more often than not, what it leads to is, that guy's going to get me a loose ball. That guy's going to get me a rebound. That guy's going to create another shot for Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. That guy's going to create another shot for Steph Curry or Jimmy Butler. And that's what this team is looking for this time of year. Look at their point. Look at the box score last night. They scored 75 of the 121 points. Like, that's it. That's all this team wants. More shots for Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. Draymond shot one last night, told the story of how Steph kindly walked over to him and said, how about not do that right now? Because I'm Steph Curry. Let's have me shoot. And then he shot twice, and then the Warriors moved on to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, that's...
And I was looking at the play-by-play.
That's all there's room for right now.
And the one that he's talking about was with about 7:30 to go, because Draymond shot 2 threes in the fourth quarter. The second one he shot was with 1 second on the shot clock, and that couldn't have been the one.
Right.
But I'm looking at the one where they're down one. Jaren Jackson Jr. hit that three. Memphis took its final lead of the game, and Curry misses, and then Memphis misses, and next trip down with about 12 on the shot clock, Draymond gets it in the corner. And it's an open three.
No, yeah, it wasn't.
In February, it's a good three.
Absolutely.
It's a great February three. It's April 15th. He shoots it, he misses it, and then, you know, you get it back, and there's a foul, Butler free throws, whatever, and then Steph eventually hits another three shortly thereafter. But that's the three that I think Steph was talking about, like, yo, dog.
I think you're right, because it also, that to me was as nerve-wracking of a moment as the game held, which is Memphis has the lead and the ball. Oh, crap.
Right.
If they go up by four, and how much time did you say was left?
When Draymond shot that three, it was 7:41 to go.
No. We're not doing two score leads in the as we move toward the 6 or 7 minute mark left to go in the season. No, we're not doing that. Thank God they got a defensive stop, and that's when every time stuff like that happens, that's when you can tell Jimmy's like, "We're gonna get a foul. We're gonna get a foul right now."
Yep.
That's about enough of that. We're gonna slow this thing down. That's right. What he's so good at.
Yeah.
Every time the Warriors are like, dude, please, please score. Jimmy's just like, watch this. I'm going to get somebody to slap my arm or not.
Yep.
And I'm going to go to the line, and we're going to get a couple here.
And the thing that preceded the Draymond 3 that made me a little nervous is Limpy McLimperson, who...
Ja Morant.
And he was really hurt. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was a legitimate... And
that
I'm so
ankle,
glad
that ankle turned.
I'm so glad that they went to the monitor and saw that it was Ja, because Ja splayed his legs out into Buddy Hield. Buddy didn't, like, stagger into him. And so that was not a flagrant, and they rightly did not call it as such. But
still called it a foul, though. He still
right.
went to the line.
Yeah, and I think that the foul was not on the fact that he landed on his
foot.
Yeah,
I don't know when it was. You're probably
all I know
right.
is the ankle was really bad, yep. and then he comes in, and it's like, oh, look at Ja, he's back. And then immediately, whoop, step back, 15-footer, and I'm like, oh, no, not this
well,
guy.
That play made me so mad. That play made me so mad because I'm like, look, I think as they got into the fourth, Ja was able to still drive a little bit,
yep.
but in that moment, he wasn't. He wasn't. And I'm like, why are you sagging off of Ja? He can't go by you. He can't walk. And they let him shoot an outside jumper.
That was
I'm
Clinton,
like,
yep.
Get in his face. In the face.
Posting that drop coverage, he's
yeah.
kind of sag back
Clinton,
a little bit.
Clinton is a ton of fun. And sometimes on defense, I'm like, you're new here, aren't you? You're new. And he is. Kumar in Ukiah. Hi, Kumar. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to, when you were talking about, you know, digging your toes into the carpet at the hotel room, a sense of relief today. I just wanted to mention, as a tax preparer who is also a Warriors fan, yesterday being tax day, today is probably the most relieved I've ever felt in my life. So I share that with you times 100. Love the show. Keep it going. Let's go, Warriors.
Kumar, thanks.
Yeah.
And you did
how
it.
Many extensions, you, Kumar, you had
exactly,
to file.
Kumar. Kumar's like, we're done. And half of America's like, we just getting started.
Exactly.
Nobody does anything on time ever, ever, anymore, ever. Nothing.
Well,
nothing.
And shout out to my wife. We've already gotten our refund.
Look at
because
you.
Because she insists. I'm a classic April 15th guy.
I'm like an April 1st-er.
April 15th, yeah, 1999, I was playing adult league basketball, and I tore my ACL, and I hadn't yet filed, and so that was an extension year.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
That works.
I had to pay some late fees that year.
Most extensions, though, come from the fact that this is, I think the human brain always thinks you're about to be rich soon. I just think that's the way people's brains think. You know what? I know that I can't pay this now, but August, oh baby, I'm gonna have all kinds of dough in August, and then August gets here,
right?
And you're like,
So I used to owe $1,000. Now I owe $1,180. $1,888 tax deal.
Payment plan.
Call my guy.
Yeah. Anyway,
call Mosky.
Happy tax day. I hope it went well for everybody. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, this is just really a feeling today. Hats off to Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and also them Golden State Warriors. They pulled it out, and they pulled it out when they needed to pull it out. And we are no longer in the play-in. We are in the playoffs, baby. Let's go. I'm loving this. They got it done. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter when. What matters is that they got it done. So no negativity. Accentuate the positive. They got the W. Let's go, Warriors.
Let's
make
this.
A run.
Yeah, Rich, I love it. I hope that everybody did take a moment. I did today. And just look back. Like, look back at where we were from the 12-3 start to then going through a period of many weeks where they just were not a very good basketball team. And then the angst over who they were going to trade for and Kevin Durant, remember we were sitting right next to each other when Shams comes out and is like, turns out Kevin Durant hates Golden State.
Oh, God.
He's not coming. And everyone's like, oh, my God, they're going to get no one. And it felt like Steph's career was slipping through everyone's fingers. And you were 25-25 or whatever the hell they were at that moment. And then the Butler trade. And that had its own set of opinions. Mine was not perfect by any stretch.
None of ours was.
Yeah, not thrilled. Did not think that was the perfect move. And boy, was I wrong. And then all of a sudden, he shows up. And then I'll never forget the first half at Chicago. And you're like, this is the Jimmy Butler Warriors? They stink. I hate this even more now. And then he put his cape on at halftime against Chicago, and they've lost single-digit games since then. And at that moment, any one of us would have honestly taken any playoff spot, especially any playoff spot that's not number eight, because everyone knew all year that Oklahoma City was so powerful. You just wanted to be in the rest of the group. Was it perfect? No. Was last night scary? Yes. But are we here? Yeah, man, they did it. They did it. So now I'll never forget Steve Kerr's comment. We've got to give Steph that at bat. Well, step to the plate.
Yep.
You did it.
You did it. And you're the second 7 seed in 30 years to be favored over the 2 seed in the first round. The last team to do it, the Lakers in 2021, they lost the series.
Did they?
4-2.
Oh, listen.
I'm doing a deep dive on 7 and 8 seeds who win in the first round. Okay. I'll have that for you at some point, and we could talk about throughout the rest of the week. The likelihood is not very likely that a 7 or an 8 wins, but the ones that do win, it's an interesting matchup. It's an interesting case. The last one to do it was Jimmy Buckets.
Oh, God.
As an 8.
Of course.
Over Milwaukee.
Of course.
They won that series in 5.
In 5 games. Yeah, in 5. No, they dominated.
It happens, but it doesn't happen that often.
No, listen, if I'm going to be an objective observer, and I'm not because I'm a Warrior fan, but right. I would...
you can try.
I would think that if a gambler were looking for value going into any NBA series that's about to start, you would put your dough on the Rockets. To get a 2 seed and get juice, that much juice in your favor?
Yep.
That's pretty rare.
It is. And the other interesting one is Clippers and Denver, because I believe that it Denver flipped. Opened as the favorite and it flipped to the Clippers. So
100%.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I remember Sunday night, I Ephraim and I had a big conversation about it on Fox. I was what? Like, dude, I completely expect the Clippers to win that series. And I now wish that I jumped on that number right when it came out.
Yeah,
Clippers, I jumped on it.
Yeah, the Clippers, good for you. What'd you get it at?
Like plus 130.
Yeah, congratulations.
Not a huge number, but no, now it's minus 125
yeah,
or so,
like,
right?
I just think they're a better team. Like, end of analysis. They're better. They're just better than Denver. Jokic is a problem, but, dude, the Clippers are so, like, they've got legit experienced playoff performers. And they're just a better basketball team. I don't think it's close.
I think it's close.
Ah.
And for me, the big variable is Kawhi Leonard and him being available to play. I mean, because he does get injured. Yeah. But the way he's playing, and you add in Harden and Zubats, I do think that the Clippers are a team matchup-wise. They match up very well with the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, Zubats and Jokic. That's a lot of huge white man right there in the middle of that series.
Yep. So to give Warriors just a brief glimpse of hope, just 2 years ago, the Lakers as a 7, Miami as an 8, they both made the conference finals.
Crazy. Crazy.
Unheard of, actually.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah,
let's
do it. All right. Morgan.
Come on. It's so scary.
Morgan and Morgan Hill, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I'm just so excited and relieved after that game last night, and I have just a few comments. One, you know, the more I see Jimmy Butler, the more and more respect I get for him as a player every single game. It's hard to kind of get a sense of a player when you don't see him day in and day out. But now that we see Jimmy Butler every game since he's been here, I mean, the poise, the calmness, composure with the ball, his ability to sense the moments in the games when he should make the right pass or be aggressive. And when he talks to the refs, he's never demonstrative and he's always in control. I just gained so much respect for him. I was thinking about that game. You know, the Warriors, they really know how to make it a nail biter with all the clutch games. And I was thinking about those two fouls that the refs called, the one against Pods when he had that block and then the one against Looney late. And I was thinking about another fallacy of the brain. You know, Willard, you mentioned, you know, people think they're going to get rich. Well, another fallacy of the brain is, you know, when you think you see something is supposed to be something, your brain fills in the rest. So, like, an analogy is when you know, like, you see a word, but the letters in the middle of the word are mixed up a little bit, but your brain pieces it together to know the right word. I feel like that's what happens when refs see certain plays, and it's just something that's unfixable. But anyhow, really looking forward to this Rockets series. Can't wait to see.
Yep, Morgan, great call. And I agree with him. And you and I both agreed on this, I think. If Draymond Green blocks that shot, it's not called.
Yeah.
But it's pods.
It's star bias.
Yeah.
And we know this in the league.
Yeah.
And that's why we wanted to avoid the Lakers and Luka and LeBron, because Houston's not going to get that same star bias whistle.
And Pods is begging. One time, Steve, I'm going to ask Steve Kerr this at 5:30. Will you ever just review a Pods? I know he had no review at that point. He had no challenge. But will you ever just review a Pods play just because? Pods been asking for him for 4 months.
Begging.
Can you please review one of my? And Steve's like, I don't care. Shut up. Go away. brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. And here for more of your phone calls. Steve Kerr will join us at 5:30. Outside of that, it's nothing but you. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
And Dan Dibley here, and we're happy to be through another cool and rainy winter. And as such, it's time to get ready to spend some time under the sun. You got spring upon us, and real spring is right around the corner. And Golden State Lumber and Showroom is ready to help you plan that outdoor space. Maybe you're considering a small seating area or a larger elevated deck, which is what we're considering. How about a deck around an existing swimming pool or a garden wall that doubles as a privacy fence? Golden State offers composite decking from Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and others, and they deliver those high-quality products that capture the beauty, the textures, and the color of real wood, yet they are low in maintenance, and they perform far better than wood. Just go to GoldenStateLumber.com and click on Brands and see what catches your eye. Then you talk to your contractor or your builder about exactly what you want to do and what your options are. And you can simplify the process because they can request a quote from any Golden State webpage. Order soon for your spring and summer outdoor enjoyment. Family owned since 1954, Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed.
Butler right side, above the break, guarded by Edey. Pump fake, he got him on the switch. Dribble drive, Butler leans back with one hand, no good. Tipped, and his own miss! 40-27 Warriors.
He's doing that over a 7-2 center.
Butler dribbles in, bounce pass to Draymond, layup inside, no good. Tipped in by Butler! 62-51, he's got a 21-point half.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Uh-huh. Steve Kerr, 5:30 on the show. Good day for it. Steve's going to be Goo was talking about this a couple weeks ago, that we'd been on a really, really good run of Steve Kerr joining us in a really, really good mood.
Yep.
And then he joined us after the Spurs game last week.
Oh, boy.
Whoops. Well, I think we're starting a new streak.
Yeah, I like it.
This should be a good mood today.
Should be. Yeah. And, we'll get them today, and then they play Sunday. And I don't know if we'll get them before game two or not. I would like to think
Tuesday,
yes,
or Thursday.
But, yep.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Well, Thursday would be a travel day, I would guess. So if they play Wednesday, I wouldn't expect them. And that game is 8:30 Houston time.
Yeah, late.
I'd expect them to stay the night and then fly the next day.
Probably.
Not having played again until Saturday, but we'll find out. He should be in a pretty chipper mood until you bash him with Kuminga questions.
Well, I gotta hold his feet to the fire.
Yeah.
That's what apparently the job entails.
It does.
So yep. we're just gonna come down his road. Can't wait. 5:30.
We'll do it the right way, as we always do. 5:30, Steve Kerr. And I do want to encourage everyone, and you can have whatever take you want, but me waking up today, I'm thinking so much more about the positives and the greatness. And what you said about best two-man combination in the West.
Yeah, who would you take?
I would take Luka and LeBron, honestly.
Would you?
I would, just because I think that, you know, offensively, they're both very, very unguardable
in their own ways. Elite, yeah. They're so defensively challenged, though.
They are, but
like, LeBron doesn't like to do it much anymore, and Luka's just bad.
Yeah, Luka's bad.
I know Steph's no awesome defender, but he tries, and Jimmy Butler's good.
Right, Jimmy Butler's a good defender,
yeah.
And Steph tries, and LeBron, I think, is a good defender. He doesn't play a lot of defense during the regular year, but when it's like big time and big games, I mean, still the chase down block at 40, he's a guy who, when he decides to defend, is a really good defender.
And then he doesn't decide to do it much anymore. They hide him a lot. But look, not a crazy answer. I could hear someone being like, I'd take Jokic and whoever the hell you want to stick next to him.
Right.
As the top duo. You could do that. And then after watching, Kawhi and James Harden in person on Sunday, and knowing what they've done over the last kind of handful of weeks here in the NBA, I don't think many people would answer that, but some probably should. They're going to be a problem. They are going to be a problem in these playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt.
Team. Yeah,
no doubt about it. But they're in the other side of the bracket, right, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's correct.
You've got Houston, and you are favored according to Vegas, although I have a grim stat for you if you'd like it about...
Oh, I would imagine the 7 seed almost always loses.
Well, in the 22 years since they went to a best-of-7 format, because I'm going through the whole history of 7s and 8s, but I'm getting back into the 90s where it's best-of-5, and best-of-5, the underdog has a much greater chance of getting a fluky win and then holding serve at home and the rest of it. But in the 22 years since they went to best-of-7, that's 88 7 and 8 seeds, both conferences. Only 6 have been able to advance.
Yeah.
Which is 6.8%.
I get it. Then again, I don't know, you know, to what level it... I mean, this is not built like most 7 seeds.
Exactly.
The Warriors are not.
My further deep dive, and I'll have the data for you tomorrow, is looking at those 7s and 8s relative to their conference. And, you know, we mentioned the Lakers in Miami 2 years ago. They were two of the teams to do it, and they both went to the conference finals. Now, those teams are not your garden variety 7s and 8s.
Correct.
The other 4 teams that were able to win in the first round, they all lost their next series.
Oh, interesting.
So,
yeah,
I mean, and that includes the Golden State Warriors in 2007. We believe. We all romanticize it. They went out and lost in 5 to Utah.
To Utah, sure.
But,
sure.
I mean, they lost in 5. It wasn't like, oh, a fluky play. They would have been going to the finals. Anyway.
One of those first games got... I can't even tell you how. I just remember going, dude, you should have won that game. I can't remember if it was poor play or mad at a ref or whatever the hell I was, but I felt like they should have got one of the early ones, and they didn't. And, they were not able to recover. All right, 888-957-9570. You want to take your calls until Steve Kerr joins us at 5:30. Let's go to Wilfred on 580. Hi, Wilfred. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing this afternoon?
What's up?
Oh, man, you know, trying to hang in there. I thought I would change the conversation a little bit. It's kind of a left field take, but it was something I kind of thought about when I first heard that Kuminga wasn't going to play against the Clippers. And my thought was, if Steve Kerr knew, I would assume at least a week or two before he made the decision that he probably wasn't going to play Kuminga. And if that was the case, he should have probably benched him then. Because now I feel like, and I'm thinking into the future on this, that maybe we've just told the rest of the NBA that either we think he can't play or he definitely can't play. And on the off chance that we can't win a championship this year, we've pretty much finished the tanking of his value that was already pretty low before he came back from injury.
Well, let me ask you this, Wilfred. Do you want his value to be high going into this offseason? I mean, he's a restricted free agent. If his value is high, in theory, if you wanted to keep him, and I don't think the Warriors have made any definitive decisions about Jonathan Kuminga's future. I think they're very much just sitting in the moment right now. But if you want to keep Jonathan Kuminga on the team, I would argue... And I don't think they're messing with his value on purpose at all. But if his value goes down, that helps the Warriors keep him right now because other teams won't make him an offer, right?
Yeah, but at this point, I pretty much feel like Steve Kerr has given up without saying that he gives up, whether it's a personality thing where he just doesn't get it, whether it's a studying thing where he's not doing his homework. Whatever the case is, I feel like we would want to get some value in return for him if we need to move on from him and trade him. And I feel like not being able to at least find some minutes to give him the opportunity to maybe make something happen, whether it's just 5 minutes or 6 minutes like Gee got. And, hey, maybe it's a conversation is we need you to have the same sort of energy that Gee or Quentin Post brings off the bench to make sure that, you know, we are getting something out of him instead of just not playing him and basically telling the NBA, hey, this kid can't play.
Yeah, I Wilfred, I get it. It's a totally fair take and a fair point. By the same token, the way that I look at this, when people sort of, I think you're taking these last two games, a lot of people, and thinking that there's kind of a grandiose opinion that this now represents. Steve Kerr has moved on, or he has sent a message, or this is what XYZ means. And then you usually kind of hear the follow-up take to that is, why couldn't you just give him a few minutes? And I keep giving the same response to this, which is, when you go into games like that, and this is true across sports, when you go into games like that, you have to play them. If it's baseball, every pitch matters. If it's basketball, every possession matters. If it's football, every single play, every throw, every run, like, can cost you the game. And so if you feel like someone else on your roster is making better decisions than the person that we're having a conversation about, then there's no room. There's no room for any minutes. I also think giving someone just a few minutes is, quite frankly, more disrespectful than giving them none. Because two things happen then. A, it's just like an embarrassingly low number in the box score. Plus, it's going to look like when you went in there, he did something wrong and you yanked him. If he goes in there for 3 minutes, how are you going to feel when he gets pulled out? You'd be like, oh, gosh, he did something wrong. So, I don't know, man. I just don't think the Warriors are thinking about that stuff right now, his value and his this and his that. They're focused on winning the game.
That's
and
it.
Right now, they feel like there are other people who are making better decisions to go do that.
That's the bottom line of all of it. And I don't think that anybody in that organization, in the front office or the coaching staff, is thinking about his perceived value. And, you know, if they like Jonathan Kuminga and they are still bullish on his future, well, then, yeah, there is a benefit to his value getting depressed naturally. I don't think that they're intentionally depressing his value. I don't think that they're looking at it like, you know what, maybe we can not play him and still win these games, and then come the offseason, we'll only have to pay him $10 million because we depressed his value. I don't think that they approach basketball that way.
I agree.
They're looking at what I described earlier, which is his role with Jimmy Butler here. His role is being filled by Gui Santos. His role is hustle, rebound, defend, make the smart play, take the charge, get on the floor. And these are things that I don't think come to him naturally. It's not to say that he's a bad player or a lazy player. He's not. But in his career, he's not been asked to be this type of player. And I do think that that role is filled naturally by other people. And so when you get down to what you need, right? Because GP2, what's his role? Guard the best ball handler, get in the corner, shoot a three, dive to the rim, and dunk the basketball. Kevon Looney, set a screen, rebound, stay close to the ground if you can, and play smart and do the Kevon thing,
right?
You know?
But Looney also is at a different position. Like GP2, that's a fair one to bring up. Even Gui Santos, to a degree, that's a fair one to bring up. If he were to go out there and get into the game, and I've said this now for years, and this is not a shot at him because the Warriors have plenty of people, Jimmy Butler being one of them, who are not great three-point shooters. But on this particular group, if you want to play in that spot, you have to be a threat to knock down a three. And right now, when you get the ball at the three-point line, the league runs the other way. The defense runs the other way. And so that's just it. And his confidence is not high. He's not knocking down shots. So 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll keep taking your call. Steve Kerr in 90 minutes. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.